ready now?
Yeah.
Okay. We do have several prayer requests this morning. The first one is pray for, and I only have initials. It came in on our text line.
Okay.
So I only have initials.
That's fine.
And I don't know who sent it. But they asked for us to pray for J.S. and N.B. as they have went to rehab. So let's pray for strength, courage.
Okay.
And then let's pray for Joe and Neva Pyatt. Joe has a doctor's appointment today in Altus for his knees. And then let's pray for Renee, who is having a challenge. And then pray for Sherry Orgain, who is having troubles with one of her eyes. She has an appointment today at Dean McGee. And then pray for Christina Wright, who passed out and is on her way to Elk City ER.
Okay.
So I've got them numbered for you. I didn't have no prayer request forms, no fresh ones over here.
No,
so.
That's fine. This is good enough. Thank you, Father. We love you and bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the decision JS and MB have made, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are there. You're there before they get there. Father, I pray that you open up the eyes of their understanding, that you strengthen them in their inner man, that you help them in this process, in this change of life, Lord God. I pray that you set people around them that are not just working a job, that you would set people that genuinely are care and are concerned. Father, and I pray that you give them the words, give that your anointing be upon them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your delivering power. Father, we lift up Joe to you. We thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you that for the servant that he is, Father. And I pray that whatever concerns him, Lord God, your eyes upon that. I thank you for it. We speak life to that knee in the name of Jesus. I speak wisdom and prudence over Joe in the decisions he has to make in the future, Lord God. I thank you for it. I pray, Father. I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. I pray for Renee in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. There's no challenge that we face that is bigger than you. Father, I pray that she receive a revelation of who you are, that nothing is impossible with you. Father, I pray that the challenge not be the dominating focus, but that you be the focus. I thank you for it. We give you glory, Lord God. For Sherry, Lord God, whatever's going on with her eye, in the name of Jesus, I pray as she goes, Father, that you would give the physicians, the nursing attendants, wisdom and direction. Father, I pray that that the problem will be exposed in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, for a mode of recovery, Lord God, a way that this eye can be restored. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And for Christina Wright, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you. I thank you that your hand's upon her for good. I thank you that you uphold her with the right hand of your righteousness. Lord God, I speak to fear. I speak to dismay in the name of Jesus. You have to leave. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. The Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. Now stay tuned, y'all, for the rest of our sponsors. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake, One stroke after another, and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Rick Spain. His title for today is Helmet of Salvation. And stay tuned after the program. We will have the truth broadcast following the program. We'll end this live program, and then there'll be a little bit of music, and then we'll come back with the truth broadcast. And the title of that will be Respond. Back to you, sir.
All right. We're done with the words from our sponsors.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good deal. You know, we've we've been a part of sponsoring this for quite a while, and I never regret it.
And
you
I
know,
this
is, if you're looking for an investment with returns, this is the place to invest. I'm telling you. You know, if you have received anything from this program, I want you prayerfully consider to donate to this cause, because God is definitely in this place. You know, every time we come, that anointing, the anointing on the program and the anointing that he's placed upon me, it just flows together. And so, you know, I just want you to consider that. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the, you said helmet of salvation. I'm going to say the helmet of salvation. And we're right now we're in the thought of what does this salvation mean to us? And we're in Psalms 103, and I've gone through 3 points here. We're on number 4. So the fourth one, and if you want to follow along, it is in the end of verse 4. It says, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Yeah, that is just, isn't that awesome? I mean, I got two ladies in here, and they're just like, whoa. You know, because this is something that you don't see in our world. Loving kindness and compassion. It's not a predominant force. You see little snid bits of it. But, you know, it's like the saying, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And that's pretty much what it is. You know, and everybody is looking for their place in life. And if you're in the way, that's your problem. Yeah, you're in my path, so you're going to just be a stepping stone for me. And we see that. God is not that way. Loving kindness and compassion. It says in the Psalms, it says, for he is good, and his loving kindness endures to all generations. And so it's not, he just doesn't have to stir up this loving kindness. You know, looking at old Joe out there, Billy Bob, whoever. You know, looking at Billy Bob out there, well, Billy Bob's not doing so good here lately. He's committing those iniquities and not thinking good thoughts. And you know what? I'm going to hold back a little loving kindness from him. That's not God. God loves you all of the time, regardless of your performance. He has made a decision. I love you. Come on. You know, for a guy, it's harder to receive that because emotions are something that, you know, defeats that male ego on the inside of us, you know, and it makes us soft. And you know what? We're not soft. We don't want to be soft. We're macho man, macho, macho man. Yeah, John Wayne, there you go. Yeah, or whoever you want to put in there. So, you know, it's harder for us to understand this concept of the love of God. But I just want you to know, just like my pastor does almost every week, God loves you. He really does. He really, really loves you. And if you'll just meditate on that, I mean, I'm just feeling that emotion in my heart and thinking, wow, you don't deserve it. No, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. It's not based upon whether we deserve it or not. He has crowned us with his love, his loving kindness. And so loving kindness is the activity that comes from that love. When you love somebody, are you going to smack them across the head? No. What are you going to do for them? Well, I think about my wife. I love my wife, and so I'm, you know, I try to be romantic sometimes, get her some flowers or whatever, you know. Why am I doing that? Is it an obligation? No. I love her. And so that's what I do. That's what God does. That's loving kindness. And then compassion, adding compassion on there. So you think about compassion and you think, what is compassion? Well, compassion is a heartfelt sympathy for someone who cannot handle the situation they're in. Oh, boy. Yeah. I just want you to think about that for a second. Heartfelt sympathy for those who are in a situation that they can't get out of. Wow. I'm talking to some people right now. I know I am. He is so compassionate. You know, I remember the first time I read, I don't remember where it is, but it's in Luke. And Jesus is going along, walking along in his path in life. And there's a leper that comes up to him, just completely covered with leprosy. And Jesus is walking along, and the leper comes up and confronts him. He says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me whole." You know what he said? "I'm willing. Be whole." That is the compassion we're talking about. You know, so don't ever think you're too deep or too lost or whatever you might put in there. The devil will tell you that. You're never too far away from him. He's always right there. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. This is an element of this salvation we're talking about. So the sixth thing we're looking at, satisfies your life with good things. Romans 8:28 says, you know what Romans 8:28 says? He works all things for our good, for the good to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, you might think, well, you know, I don't think I'm called. Yes, you are. Yeah, you're called. You got a good purpose that God has established before you were ever created. He has a life for you that's much greater than the life that you build. And so this pertains to everybody, those who are called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose. And so he causes all things to work for the good. Well, now, wait a second. When do we most of the time speak this or confess this? Is it when we're really having good things happen in our life? No. It's when we're in bad situations. And we're confessing that in faith. God causes all things to work together for our good. You know, and so I want you to see this, and I want you to understand that a lot of the good that God brings out in our life come from bad situations. The problem is we get stuck in the bad situation. You know, what was that you just said a while ago? That quote you just said?
Oh.
You wrote
detours
it down.
Detours of delays. We get lost in the details of the details. Hang on, let me read it right.
Yeah.
We get lost in the detours of details.
Detours of details. So what that means is that when we're in a situation and you know what, we're speaking God's word and we're believing God for whatever, and then it seems like it gets worse. You know, well, you know what, I prayed and I'm confessing the word, and you know, and then we come to the thought, well, maybe it's just something I got to learn. Well, you know what? It is something you got to learn. You got to learn to trust Him.
Come on.
Trust Him. Mm-hmm. He's got it all worked out. You know, what happens is we tend to look in a line. Whatever we're confronting in life, that's what has our focus. And so all our thoughts are encompassed with whatever we're going through, you know, whatever situation, our kids or whatever. You know, and so we're so focused on this. Well, see, God, where is His focus? When we think in a straight line, God thinks in every direction at the same time. Be patient. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might have that good thing that God promised He was going to bring. He satisfies your life with good things. Number six, we see that He renews your strength. Wow, when do you need your strength renewed? Yeah, I mean, I need it every day. I need my strength renewed. You know, there are times when I'm going through situations in life, and I'm always going through situations in life, you know, and I'll get up, and sometimes I feel good, and sometimes I don't. And it's based on whatever it is I have to face for the day. And so the first thing I do, well, I can't lie to you, the first thing I do is grab a cup of coffee and watch the news, the weather. I need to know what the weather's going to do in my business. The next thing I do, I spend time with Him. I need strengthened. He renews our strength. He renews it like the eagle. So that reminds me of Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, walk, and not faint. And so He has all the strength that you need. Get your eyes off the problems. Get your eyes on Him. That is part of this salvation. He's promised us to renew our strength. The last thing I want to talk about is in that last verse. It says, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. If you're going through a situation in life that you don't deserve, you're in a position that God is closest to. If you're looking for what gets God's attention, this gets God's attention. If you are being oppressed or being persecuted, we doing all right? Did we lose feet or?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So if you're going through an unfair situation in life, God is a breath away from you. And He will bring out right in your life. over in Psalm 37, I think it's verse 4. It says 4 or 5. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the morning, and the justice of your cause as the noonday sun. Man, when you're going through situations in life that you really don't deserve, that's what you need to hold on to. God's there. He's going to bring you through. He's going to prove what is right. You don't have to prove it. He'll prove it. Give him time. Give him that ability to do what he needs to do. So getting on to the next point. So we're talking, I did this in 3 points, and understand this is teaching. So when we're talking about salvation, what is it that he desires? What does he desire? Number one, what's that? Yes. Yeah, that's a good thought. Sue said everything.
He desires our heart.
Yep.
In a right relationship.
Amen. Amen. So I got 3 points here. Number one is 3 John verse 2. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so a lot of people want to take on to that thought of he wants to bless me. You know, he wants to bless me. He wants good things for my life. And we take all this upon us, and it's right. He does. But I love the way John qualifies. He says, as your soul prospers. So what's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. And so as your mind, your will, and emotions are prospering, the rest of you will prosper. And how do you do that? How do you start this process? The Bible says we've got to renew our mind according to what God says. He says, when you meditate on what I say, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water whose leaf doesn't wither and whose fruit gives in its season. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. You know, and so we need to understand as we put him in us, he's going to come out of us. He never fails. He always succeeds. And so soul prosperity has to do with the prosperity on the outside. Always. Every time. I'm telling you, this is fail proof. If you put him in you, he is going to come out of you. And that is prosperous. And so in Psalms 119, 130, it says, the entrance of your word brings light. You give understanding to the simple. You know, there's so many complicated issues in life, and me, you know, I am what you see. I'm a country boy, you know, and so God has anointed this country boy to preach and teach his word, and so I just do what he's called me to do. You know, am I the best at it? I don't know. I'm just, all I know is I just do what he tells me. So with me, I don't like complicated things. I'm always wanting to simplify it. And so that's what he does. He gives understanding to the simple. We don't have to know all the details. If you think you need to know all the details, you are bearing too much of a burden. All you need is the understanding that he brings. And how does that happen? The entrance of his word. Putting your word in him. And it's going to produce light on the outside. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about how to build your house. He said there's two foundations. He said there's one on the strong foundation. Same house. Both of them, same house. You know, but it's what is under that house. He said if you build your house on a strong foundation, when the storm comes, it'll stand. if you build it on just the dirt, and I believe me, I've worked on some of them, then when the storm comes, it's going to blow away. It's the same storm, you guys. Same storm, same house. It's what it's built on. And the qualifier, what is the foundation? Jesus said, my words. My words. Build your life on his words. What does he desire? He desires that you prosper and be in health. But understand it's in your soul. And how do we get that? From putting his word inside of us. So how do you experience this salvation? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says, what is it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith, which we speak, that if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is how it comes, guys. Every time without fail. How do you get salvation? Well, get out there and work harder. Yeah, we got to do what God says. You know, God said we got to do this, and so by golly, let's put our work clothes on. We got to do this. The scripture tells us very plainly how we receive salvation is we believe. Number one, you believe. And I'm not talking about believing in your ability that you think God is putting in you. Now, you know, we need to recognize that. But it's not our ability. Never, ever, ever. It's his ability. So we have to believe. Believe. Simple. It's not work harder. It's believe. Now, I'm not discounting hard work, because all hard work yields a profit. But when we work, we need to understand it's because of our belief in him. We believe, and then what do you do next? Confess with your mouth. Speak it. And so this is what puts salvation in action. We've just talked about it. So believing, that's in the thought process. You know, as my soul is prospering, my soul's prospering because it's connected to him. And so what I got to do is, yeah, I can believe all day long, but until I confess it, this is the number one act of faith. Number one, believing is what faith does. You can't believe unless you have faith. And so that is the action of faith. But the action of the belief is to speak it. Act on it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what people say. What does matter is I believe and therefore I speak. With that same spirit of faith. Believe and speak. You know, so talks about in Acts the story of the seven sons of Sceva. And so they were watching Paul, and they seen Paul doing miracles and delivering people from demons. And so they thought, well, we're going to go out and do this too. So they found a demon-possessed fella, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we cast you out. Well, we know what happened. Them devils jumped out, and they beat the seven sons of Sceva up. And so what the point I'm trying to make, this is not a magic incantation. If you're looking for just something, you know, just an act of habit. Now, yes, we need to make this a habit, but the habit's not what makes it work. What makes it work is we believe in the living God. We have a relationship with him. Our relationship is not through Paul or through that preacher or through this individual, through Rick or whoever. That relationship is one that I have. And so I believe. And as I believe, God directs my steps. I may make the plans, but God makes my steps firm. And so remember, this is not magic incantation. So in over in 2 Peter, we're almost done, you guys. If Neva were here, she'd tell me how much time I got. But
no, we're good. We're not bound by time now.
We're not bound by time. Praise the Lord. So last two verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled man, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." A few things I want us to get out of this. First of all, we need to know. Know beforehand. Before the problem ever raises its ugly head, know you got a God that loves you, a one that you have a relationship with. And so that is what my mouth speaks. You know, it's been several years ago, but I used to, when people had asked me how I'm doing, you know, your regular greeting. So how's it going? Well, you know, my brain would go back to, well, how's life going? How is life treating me? I never really made negative confessions, but in my mind I was making negative confessions. And so I would say, it's going okay. I got this and this we're dealing with, you know, so I'd bring these thoughts into the equation. I learned, and it's been several years ago, that what is the proper response? Well, the proper response, now this is what I try to do habitually. How's it going? How are you doing? Great. Great. Yeah, you know, we have those blessed and highly favored, those confessions. But, you know, I just find that personalized greeting works better for me. You say blessed and highly favored. Well, that's something that's in a can. This is something, I'm doing great. I am doing great. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not getting on to you. If that's your confession, I mean, you're connected. You are connected. So, I just made it a Rick Spain thought. Great. You know, that's kind of scary, isn't it, Sue? You know, and so change the way you use the words that come out of your mouth. Because the same words you use that produce salvation, those same words can isolate you and remove you from the salvation that God has for you. That's in our part. You know, I really want you to get this first thought I had here. The first thought, how does salvation come? You believe and you speak. Believe and speak. Work on that. Don't work on getting your life better. Work on getting your relationship better. Relationship with him. And then you believe and you speak. Because he's not always there in a visual way. Matter of fact, a lot of times he's not. You don't hear him. You don't see him. It's all looking black, gloom and doom. But that is not what we focus on. Scripture tells us that we don't focus on things which are seen. We focus on things that are not seen. Things which are seen, they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. The things you don't see, they're eternal. That and just understand, you know, so I wrote down a thought, and I was wanting to close with it. I know we're probably running a little bit over this morning, but I want to read this to you. I wrote this down yesterday. Creflo Dollar said something that I had to write down. He said, "There's nothing you can do bad enough to keep you out of heaven." But he also said, "There's nothing you can do good enough to get into heaven." It's not according to what you do. It's according to what you believe. And it's according in those that corresponding action, what's coming out of your mouth. So God loved the world so much that he gave his son so that the ones who believe in him would have everlasting life. He died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. He who started that work will finish it. It's Him. It's Him from first to last. This salvation process, it started with Him. It ends with Him. Do you serve a part in this? Yes, you do. Through relationship. Not through, I got to do this and I got to do that. Through that relationship. That's what it's about. Religion produces rules that says you have to produce salvation. Relationship allows Him to do the change necessary to produce the results of salvation. How true salvation is produced in your life is not evident by what you do, but it is definitely evident by who you're connected to. And so this is the lesson on the helmet of salvation. And so remember, what's it covering? It's covering our minds. And so He has provided salvation for you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what it looks like. Connect with Him. He will direct your steps. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank You for the word that's been spoken this morning, Lord God, that it may become real to us, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that You work through these words to show Yourself real in the lives of those that are needing this salvation. Thank You that You provided this for us, Lord. I pray that You give us the navigation system that we need to get from where we are to where You want us to be. I give You praise and thanksgiving. I speak life over marriages. I speak health over bodies. I speak recovery of money that's lost in the name of Jesus. I speak it forth. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for it. I thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to share something real quick. So, doing the program, I have my phone, and I have it tuned in to the Hour of Power so that I can periodically check the sound to make sure we don't have any buzzes or static or anything like that. So, and this is an example of what the helmet of salvation can do, okay? So I'm checking the sound, and when I put the earbud in my ear, somehow Spotify was playing music, and the music that it was playing was my husband's. Somehow Spotify opened during the podcast. I didn't push it. I didn't open it. But it was playing my husband's CD from years ago, from the 80s. Okay? When I put that in my ear and I heard the music, it provoked emotions, and it provoked feelings and thoughts tried. But the helmet of salvation, I have my helmet, because I didn't sit here and completely lose it. I did get a little emotional, but that's okay. I didn't get lost in that. When I got it off, I began to quietly speak to my Lord, and I began to thank Him for the time that I had with my husband, and I began to praise Him and thank Him for delivering my husband from the pit of hell that he was headed to. The helmet of salvation protects us, protects our mind from attacks from the outside. And I guarantee you, that was a direct attack from the outside, trying to get me messed up in my mind for whatever reason. I don't care. But when you have that, when you have your armor, you can stand against the enemy's attacks. Because the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The first thing he does is come. And if you don't have the helmet of salvation, I assure you, you are not going to stand against the enemy's attacks on your mind. Monica used to have a lot of stinking thinking before Christ. And now that my mind has been renewed and continues to be renewed, I'm not taking my helmet off, because I know the enemy is going to come. I want to encourage you. Come home. Abba loves you. God loves you. His arms are open to love you, not to hurt you. You are not powerful enough. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I promise you this. You are not powerful enough to change God's love. Come home, child. Just come home. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Sue Huddleston, and from our brother in Christ, Rick Spain, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Now stay tuned. Following the program, there's going to be a little music, and I'll have to reset the iPad and get it ready. But we will have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.